Well, good evening, dear brothers and sisters. What a great honor and privilege it is to be here with you in this Phoenix area. I'm so grateful to have my wife here tonight with me and our fourth daughter and our 26th grandchild, little Ava Werbeck. Ryan, we're happy to have you here too. So brothers and sisters, we are very mindful that you come to this parents' devotional tonight with many questions in your heart. In an effort to try and understand your questions, we have asked for many of these questions to be submitted to us. And we have taken a fair amount of time to study them and to aggregate them into groups that we might be able to. We're certainly not going to get to all of your questions, but we've put them into categories that we can try and address for you tonight. Before we do that, I might just give you a little additional background on why Elder Ballard and I are here together. This is rather unusual in a church where there are only 12 apostles that you would have two of them with you here tonight. The blessing that I have in this is I'm really apprenticing, if I can use that word. And for any of you who have served as missionaries, I have the privilege of being the junior companion here tonight. Elder Ballard and I are assigned by the First Presidency in the 12 to oversee from the 12 standpoint the work of the church in North America. And so we are actually traveling throughout the United States and meeting in various locations with priesthood leaders, which we will be with all day tomorrow, and then hopefully with many of your children tomorrow night in a youth devotional. And we are not only giving teachings and trainings and direction, preaching, if you will, but we are trying to receive and learn how things are going out in the church at the level of parents, moms and dads, and grandmas and grandpas. And with your youth tomorrow night, and occasionally we meet with young single adults. 2 weekends ago, we met with military families that are in and around the Washington, D.C. area. And so we are, in essence, trying to learn how we can help strengthen and continue to build up the North American church. You all understand that this church is a very worldwide church, but the North American church, the church in Phoenix, is still one of the great engines of growth and resources for this church. We thank you, dear brothers and sisters, for the missionaries you are sending out into the mission field. We thank you for choosing at appropriate times of your life to go yourselves into the mission field. We thank you for your honorable payment of tithes and your other offerings. As you see, and as we see the church building all over the world and growing, we recognize that it's from these center stakes of Zion, like all of yours, that the energy and the resources for a worldwide church is supported. And so we would be remiss if we didn't take the occasion tonight to thank you for all you are doing to build up the Lord's church throughout the world. Now, Elder Robbins, historically in North America, we've had area presidencies. We no longer have area presidencies. The presidency of the 70 supervises day-to-day the North American church. Elder Robbins is a member of the presidency of the 70, and using old vernacular, he would be known as your area president. These days, we call him the area supervisor. And so Elder Robbins will be taking a significant part in our conversation tonight as well. And we're grateful to have Elder Costa with us. Elder Costa is the newest general authority in the church. Is that right? Come on up here for a minute, Hunter. Tell them where you're from and why you're here tonight.
Well, I am from Argentina, South America. And Elder Rasman just spoke of apprenticeship.
Thank you. We're happy to have you here. Elder Costa will also address some of the questions which have been asked of us tonight. So you ready to get started? Well, the biggest category of questions that came in had to do with your youth, especially your teenagers' involvement with social media. Does that sound like an important topic? And you're very centrally focused on one of the most important subjects in the church. I did a little research before coming tonight from some public media outlets, and let me just share with you some research done about the rising generation. I'll start first, because it's such a startling comparison, to go back to 2010. Now, that's 6 years ago now, but even then, a study made by multiple resources and sources throughout the country that was published in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, etc., said this, that in an average day, children and youth 8 to 18 years old spend an average of 7 hours and 30 minutes per day using entertainment media. This increases to 10 and a half hours a day if the content is what they call multitasking, meaning they're doing one thing at a time, but they've also got a cell phone in their hand, and you all know that this is taking place. Well, in 2015, a similar study was done by Common Sense Media. This research found just last year that this average use of time by our youth had increased to over 9 hours per day. Even at school, our youth will have their mobile devices on or sitting on in front of them as they're trying to be taught by their instructors. So we have reason to be concerned, and you have reasons to ask questions about this. I would start by just suggesting to all of you that I hope you're very familiar with the church has produced for your youth. This, of course, is for the strength of youth pamphlet. And I'm just going to turn to the section in the strength of youth pamphlet entitled Entertainment and Media. And I'm just going to read you the last line of this section. If you are not sure whether something is appropriate to watch or listen to, talk to your parents and other adult leaders. The Holy Ghost will help give you the strength to make correct choices. And so, brothers and sisters, if your youth are into For the Strength of Youth, and you're not really sure what's in here or what's being suggested to them, I would recommend to you, first and foremost, along with your study of the Revelations, as Elder Ballard suggested, that you know the contents of this wonderful pamphlet for our youth. And that you'll remember that this was not written by staff in some high-rise at the church headquarters. Every apostle, every prophet, edited, including language and the words that are found in this pamphlet for our wonderful youth to consider. Now, along with that, brothers and sisters, there have been times that I've been with priesthood leaders, and I remember one recently, a bishop raised his hand and asked me, Elder Rasband, how do we get our youth to stop using Facebook and Instagram? And I said, Bishop, you don't. That's not going to work. And one of the things we all have to realize is this is an application of our day. I won't go so far as to call it a plague, because there's many good things that are found in social media as well. But I told the bishop that I think the question he should have asked is, how do I get prepared that I can communicate or understand what our youth in my ward are doing on social media? There's a wonderful place in the Book of Mormon that most of us speed through. And it's what's called the war chapters. Are you familiar with those? About Alma 43 to the end of the Book of Alma. And I think if we all think, brothers and sisters, about the environment that we find ourselves in today, would you be willing to agree that as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that we are at war? Who are we at war with? Satan, the adversary. Prophets throughout the ages have prophesied of this. Think of Paul. Just know also that in the latter days, perilous times shall come. Nephi is saying that the adversary would rage in the hearts of the children of men in the last days. And even to the prophet Joseph Smith, the Lord said in the first section of the Doctrine and Covenants, I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which will come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant, Joseph Smith, Jr. These are our days. We are at war with the adversary and his minions. And as I go to those war chapters, there's one particular word that I just want to draw to your attention tonight. And I'm going to ask you to read the war chapters again. I'm in Alma chapter 43. And I'm going to read verse 30. 30 will be sufficient. And then you can search a particular word after you hear this verse. And we're reading here about General Moroni, as you know. And he also, knowing that it was the only desire of the Nephites to preserve their lands and their liberty and their church, and in many other places is written their families. Therefore, he thought it no sin that they should defend them by stratagem. Our word in our day is strategy. This is what you parents, ward councils, bishoprics, young women advisors, young men advisors, you are going to need to strategize. You are going to need to be prayerful, just like Moroni and his generals were in those war chapters in the Book of Mormon. They only defeated their enemy by stratagem, by planning, by thinking, by preparing, by counseling one with another on how they could defeat the enemy. And so, brothers and sisters, one of our invitations to you tonight is that these questions you've asked are wonderful, and you need to bring them up in a ward council. You need to bring them up even in your family council. Wouldn't hurt for you to have the kind of relationship, and I know you're all trying. I mean, I have how many teenagers living right here? Two. I've got two of my own here. And you have to be able and willing to create an environment where they can come to you with their questions. Back in January of about a year ago, in fact, I was gratefully invited, I think gratefully, to have and host a face-to-face event. You know what those events are? And I was told that I was brand new in my role in the Quorum of the Twelve, and I really didn't know what I had been invited to do. And they told me, well, we're going to be having an event with youth around the world, and they're going to ask you questions, live questions. And I said, okay, well, that sounds all right. And then I heard, and there should be around 450,000 youth tuned in, by the way. And brothers and sisters, they asked difficult but faith-filled questions. And I think there were a few things that were important for the youth to understand. Number one, let us all remember that the restoration of this church began with a youth asking a question. Sometimes we think of Joseph Smith as the prophet of the restoration. Yes, of course he was. But when he went into the grove, he was a 14-year-old boy, a youth asking a question. And as I shared with the youth that night, we must also remember that the Savior is at the heart of the answer to every question. And if we can try and use the Savior's words in answering our youth's questions by drawing them into the scriptures, by drawing them into the strength of youth, by strategizing with them on how can we as a family protect ourselves and protect you from this, this is good counsel. Now, to that bishop who once asked me if he should try and encourage his youth to get off of social media, I just want to reflect with all of you for a few minutes on all of the resources the church has on social media. And hopefully you are encouraging your youth to use these, that they're following them, so that when the church puts out media to the youth, your children are getting that information. Here's just a few of them for you to consider. First of all, at LDS.org, do you all know there's a whole youth site as a part of LDS.org? Do you know that on that youth website there are over 188 free downloadable songs that have been created for the youth themselves? And so as your youth are confronted with perhaps some inappropriate music, I hope you're helping them understand that they can get wonderful pieces that are made up of EFY themes and mutual themes from albums that have been produced by some of the church's greatest Latter-day Saint musicians. The church has an LDS youth Facebook site, and it has a varied daily content. So if your youth were just to like the LDS youth Facebook page every day, along with all else that comes up, they would get material sent by the church on their LDS youth Facebook page. Now, my teenage youth tell me they're not really following Facebook anymore, and that they're more into Instagram and Snapchat. Well, the church has Instagram accounts, and to perhaps your great surprise, the church has even a Snapchat location that the youth can go to. All of these locations are places that maybe during a small period of time the youth will go from one to another to another. And we advise you and hope that you will just alert them to the fact that in the social media that they are already participating in, the church is trying to meet them there and to strengthen them and to give them truly golden nuggets every day to bring them closer to the Savior and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's even seminary Facebook pages. There's even an LDS seminary Twitter account if your children are more into Twitter. I'm grateful that I even have a Twitter account. A year ago, I can tell you that I didn't have a Facebook account. I didn't have a Twitter account. I didn't have an Instagram account. But when I was asked to do that face-to-face, I got my teenage grandchildren together. I called them my youth advisory council. And I said, what do I need to do? Help Grammy and Pa know what we need to do. And they helped us set up our own accounts. I follow my grandchildren on Instagram and Facebook now. And it's a good thing. There have been times I have sent back a little note to one of them or two of them, and in the most loving way that I can, let them know that I am where they are. And it's been a wonderful thing in our family. My brothers and sisters, again, I'm avoiding the terminology that this is a plague of our day, because the Lord and Heavenly Father have helped us have these technological advances in our day. We seek everything that is lovely, praiseworthy, virtuous, and a good report. And there is much of that to be found in the internet also. 10 years ago, I know this because I was part of this team, a study was made of the sites that most people go to on the internet. And the majority of them were inappropriate sides. But the leading good side on the internet 10 years ago was Family Search, where people would go and search their roots and their ancestors and catch the spirit of Elijah. The Lord has said in the latter days his gospel would be preached in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Well, brothers and sisters, even though we may not have missionaries as we think of them, knocking on doors and proselyting in every country in the world, where there is some freedom of the internet, the church has a site there. And we have missionaries now that sit at internet terminals and preach the gospel and find people to teach just through the internet. And people are being brought to the Savior and brought to this church through the goodness of this technology that the Lord has allowed to be developed here in our day. Our hope and prayer is that we all may find the good uses of internet technology, that you will counsel together as mothers and fathers, grandmas and grandpas, with your children in family councils, as Elder Ballard taught in his last general conference address, and that you will set your boundaries and that you will set your borders, and that you will encourage the youth of this great Phoenix area to take advantage of what the church is offering in their spaces, in their domain. It's good material, brothers and sisters, and it's wonderful if you could encourage your youth, but along with everything else they're doing on the internet, to include the LDS Gospels, many, multiple websites and application domains. Many, many years ago in Book of Mormon times, you'll recall that King Benjamin called the people together to the temple site. And they gathered family by family. Their tents were surrounding the temple. And King Benjamin taught them one of his last addresses as the great prophet. And you remember some of the things he taught, which were powerful and wonderful, about our Savior, about Jesus Christ. We were told that there were little children in those tents with grandmas and grandpas. Well, a generation later, that was about Mosiah chapter 2. Now Mosiah chapter 26. We read, and you've read this, that those little children who were in the tents that very day that King Benjamin spoke to his people had drifted and had left their families because the rising generation did not understand the teachings of their parents. It's our hope and prayer, dear brothers and sisters, that you, as the parents of the rising generation of our day, will be inspired, will be led through your prayer, through your fasting, through your strategizing, your righteous strategizing, on how you can raise your children in this day, in this time. We pray the Lord will bless you, that through your righteous efforts, the Lord will inspire you and instruct you and give you personal revelation for your family, for your classes, for your wards, and that you'll know how to help our rising generation understand and believe in the words and teachings of their parents. Such is our hopes, our feelings for you, for your wonderful children, your youth who we'll have the privilege of being with tomorrow night. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Elder Robbins is going to continue with another aspect of this same media discussion. So, Elder Robbins, would you teach us, please?